to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and also the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. In Proverbs 29, I'd like to read verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20 says, despise not prophesyance. As we will see in this message, both of these passages, I believe, are a reference to the preaching of God's Word. There is reference made to the actual preaching, and there is reference made to receiving the preached word. As we look at these two verses, we want to consider some terms, some words that are found in these verses that will help us to understand the true meaning. Most of the time, when Proverbs 29:18 is preached, I believe it's preached incorrectly. It was refreshing to hear, I believe it was Brother Randy yesterday, make reference to this verse, and I believe applied it correctly, because most of the time I believe it's applied incorrectly. We want to look, first of all, notice in Proverbs 29, verse 18, we have that word vision. Vision. The word means oracle or prophecy. It refers to the declaring, the proclaiming, the making known, the preaching of God's word. A vision is a communication not furnished by nature, not the product of human intellect or human imagination, but it is a communication from God. So a vision was something that came from the Lord. Now in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 17, we read, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Nathan preached a vision. He prophesied, he preached unto David. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, and verse 1, Isaiah 1, verse 1, we read the vision of Isaiah, which is the prophesying, the declaration, the proclamation, the preaching of Isaiah. And that's what the book of Isaiah, of course, contains. In Obadiah 1 and verse 1, we read the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord. So the vision is thus saith the Lord. It is preaching. Thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 1, we read the book of the vision. The book of the vision, or the book of the preaching or proclaiming of Nahum. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. And then in 1 Samuel, if we turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And what that means is the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And then he goes on to explain why the word of God was rare in those days. There was no open vision. So at the time when God called Samuel, there was no open proclamation of the word of God. There was no open revelation of the word of God. There was no one who was openly preaching the word of God. The word vision here in Proverbs 29 and verse 18 is not referring to your goals. It's not saying if you don't have goals, if you don't have aims, people are going to perish. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying if you don't have a burden for souls that people are going to perish. It says if there is no preaching, if there is no declaring of the word of God, people perish. And that fits with the rest of the word of God. The next word we want to consider is there in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20, that word prophesying. Despise not prophesying, which has reference to speaking forth the mind of God. It is proclaiming. It is the making known the word of God. And all through the word of God, especially the Old Testament, the word refers to the preaching of God's word. The preaching of God's word. Notice in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 19. Jeremiah 19, verse 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. The Lord sent him to prophesy. That is, the Lord sent him to preach. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said or declared or preached to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts. The word prophesy, again referring to preaching. In Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah 25, verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord. Or thus saith the Lord. Again, prophesying, referring to preaching. Jeremiah 26, verse 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy, to preach against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Then notice in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Again, it was God telling Ezekiel to preach the word of God. Chapter 35 of the book of Ezekiel. Verses 1 and 2, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy. Preach against it. Chapter 36, in verse 3, we read those words, therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Again, it's referring to preaching. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we have the valley of dry bones. And in verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The word prophesy and the word prophesying in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 is referring to the preaching of God's word. The word vision in Proverbs 29 verse 18 and the word prophesying in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 has reference to the same thing. It has reference to the preaching of God's word. Now, another word that we see, if we go back over to Proverbs 29:18, another word we need to understand is that word perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. To perish is to become ruined. It is to become spoiled. As in becoming rotten. It is to become destroyed, wasted, a state of deterioration. It means to weaken. Where there is no vision, where there is no declaring, where there is no proclaiming, where there is no making known, where there is no preaching the word of God, people perish. That is, people become ruined. People become spoiled. People become destroyed. Where there is no vision or where there is no preaching. The idea is that where there is no proclaiming, where there is no making known, where there is no preaching of God's word, people will be ruined. People will be destroyed. This stresses the tremendous importance of the vision, the tremendous importance of the preaching of God's word. Where there is no vision, where there is no preaching, people perish. That is why the devil works so hard against the preaching of God's word. Because the devil knows that where there is no preaching, people perish. People are ruined. People are destroyed. And he does everything he can to hinder, to stop, to prevent preaching. So it seems to me that anyone who is against preaching would be on the devil's side. That automatically puts you on the devil's side. That's the wrong side to be on. The next word is that word despise. There in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20. Despise not prophesies. And the word is used in connection with prophesying or the proclaiming or the making known of the word of God. And that word despise simply means to set at naught. Do not set at naught the preaching of God's word. It means to think down upon. It means to think lightly of. To care little for. To set aside. When we set aside the preaching of God's word, we've gone against what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20 is saying. It also means to reject. Do not reject the preaching of God's word. So what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20 is a warning concerning the preached word of God. Now, the hearers can despise the preaching of God's word. Preachers, by not taking it seriously, despise the preaching of God's word. But Paul is writing there to God's people. He is writing to the church of Thessalonica, which tells us that it is possible. And this ought to concern us. It is possible for God's people to set at naught the preaching of God's word. If it were not possible, he would not have said, despise not prophesying. It is possible for you and I as God's people to think lightly of the preaching of God's word. It is possible for you and I to get in a position where we care little for the preaching of God's word. It is possible for you and I as God's people to set it aside, to hear the preaching of God's word and yet set it aside. And it is certainly possible to reject the preaching of God's word. Despise not prophesying. This is an exhortation to take the preached word of God seriously. To take it seriously. Why should we take it seriously? Because where there is no vision, where there is no preaching, people perish. Where there is no preaching, your sons and daughters perish. Where there is no preaching, you perish. Where there is no preaching, your loved ones perish. Your friends perish. I'm telling you, preaching is important. And therefore, Paul says, do not despise it. Take it seriously. If you be the one preaching the word of God, take it seriously. Because where there is no vision, people perish. This is serious business. And if you're sitting and listening, take it seriously. Make sure that you in no way despise prophesying. Now, we know that the Bible puts great emphasis upon preaching. You wouldn't know that today by the attitude of so-called Christendom. Because the attitude, the emphasis on by so-called Christendom is not on the preaching of God's word. The emphasis is entertaining. The emphasis is making people comfortable, not offending anyone. But God puts the emphasis on preaching. And he tells us what to preach. He says, preach, thus saith the Lord. And where that does not exist, people perish. So, God's method of making known his mind to his people is preaching. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to deliver a message to a king or to a nation, what did he do? He sent a prophet. Whether it was Amos, Elijah, it doesn't matter. He sent a prophet. And that prophet was sent to declare the message of God. In most cases in the Old Testament, it was to declare the judgment of God. But when God called a prophet, he gave that prophet a message. He not only gave him a message, he also gave him the ability to declare and to make known the message. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. For they are impudent or brazen children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. I send you, Ezekiel, unto a brazen people, unto a stiff-hearted people. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Here's what I want you to say to them. He gave them a message. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they will hear or refuse to hear, does not change your responsibility to declare the message. For they are a rebellious house,
yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Ezekiel, you go and you preach to them what I tell you to preach. And they may not listen to a word you say, but they'll know this. There's been a preacher amongst them. He put the emphasis upon preaching. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, notice in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 2. He said, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it." Not just any preaching, but the preaching that I bid thee. In the New Testament, we read in Mark 1, verse 7, that John the Baptist preached. In Mark 1, verse 38 and 39, and also Mark 2 and verse 2, we read that Jesus preached. When Jesus organized his church, he told them to go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Why did God tell Ezekiel to preach? Why did God tell Jonah to preach? Why did John the Baptist preach? Why did Jesus preach? Why did God tell the first church to preach? Because where there is no vision, where there is no preaching, people perish. So the instruction is preach. Preach. And it hasn't changed, folks. The responsibility is still the same. And what did that first church do? Mark 16, verse 20, it says, they went forth and they preached everywhere. Everywhere they went, they preached. We read in Matthew 10 and verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 10, verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. That is, don't be ashamed. Get up on the housetops so everybody can hear and preach. This was the emphasis. The emphasis was upon preaching. The early church, everywhere they went, they preached. Notice in the book of Acts. Chapter 8. Book of Acts, chapter 8. And verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they, the church which was at Jerusalem, were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles remained in Jerusalem. In verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The very thing they were persecuted for, that is what they continued to do. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached, the word of the Lord returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Why did they preach? Because where there is no vision, where there is no preaching, where there is no proclaiming of the word of God, people perish. In the book of Acts chapter 8, in verse 35, we see the word of God was preached in the desert. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, that is the eunuch, Jesus. They preached Jesus in the synagogues in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. So whether it was in the desert, whether it was in the synagogues, didn't matter. They did the same thing. They simply preached the word of God. When the church of Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries, they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Notice in Acts chapter 13, verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Chapter 14, verses 6 and verse 7.
then were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. We see the same thing in verse 20. We see the same thing in verse 21. We see the same thing in verse 25. Everywhere they went, they preached. Paul, when he went to Mars Hill and stood before the educated ones of society, what did he do? He preached. He preached. You see, they preached everywhere. They preached to everyone. Why? Because where there is no preaching, where there is no vision, people perish. Paul would later instruct young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. He said, preach the word. Timothy, whatever you do, preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. In season. That is, when it's popular, preach the word. Preach the word when it's out of season, when it's not popular, when people don't want to hear it. Preach the word. The emphasis never changed. No matter what people's attitude was toward the preaching of God's word, the emphasis remained the same. That is, preach the word of God. Because if you don't, people perish. This is serious, very serious business. All through the Bible, we see the preaching of the Word of God. We see that it was preached before kings. It was preached before rulers. It was preached before ordinary citizens. It was preached before peasants. It was preached to the great intellects of the day. And it was preached to the ignorant and to the unlearned. You see, it didn't matter the condition or the position of an individual. The emphasis was, you preach the Word of God. It was preached to masters. It was preached to slaves. It was preached to the Jews. It was preached to the Gentiles. It doesn't matter what country you go into. It doesn't matter what language they speak. Where there is no preaching, people perish. Whatever their position is, that is forever true. Where there is no vision, people perish. So today the emphasis is upon everything but the preaching of God's Word. Churches give more and more time to other things and less time to the preaching of God's Word. Because churches in their marketing systems have come to realize that people really do not want preaching. And if we're going to grow our church, we've got to give the people what they want. But what's the emphasis in Scripture? Whether they want it or not, preach the Word of God. Because if you don't preach the Word of God, people will perish. People will perish. Today, people would like you to believe that the reason they provide entertainment in their church, the reason they have all these other things, is because they care. Well, if Proverbs 29:18 is true, and it is, seems to me if you care, you'll preach the Word of God. Because where there is no vision, people perish. Whether that's what they want or not, that doesn't change what we are to do this evening. For the spiritual well-being of others, for our own spiritual well-being, it is imperative that we realize the importance of the preaching of God's Word. The Lord uses the preaching of the Word of God to save sinners. Where there is no vision, people perish. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. God uses preaching to bring about faith, to bring about repentance, to bring about conversion. And the reason we are to preach the gospel to every creature is because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
It's what God uses. It's what He's always used. And it's what He will continue to use. Well, I'd rather you not preach to my loved one because preaching makes him uncomfortable. Preach the word. Preach the word. Whether it makes him uncomfortable or not. It ought to make him uncomfortable. The preaching of God's word ought to make any lost sinner uncomfortable. I get concerned when lost sinners week after week enjoy the preaching of God's word or say they do. That disturbs me. Because they shouldn't be enjoying it. Not if they're lost. Not if they're living in sin. It should make them uncomfortable. James 4 and verse 5 or verse 15. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. God uses the preached word to save souls. He also uses the preached word to encourage his people in the service of the Lord. Where there is no vision, people perish. God uses His Word to encourage. God uses His Word to strengthen. He uses the preaching of His Word to strengthen faith. He uses the preaching of His Word to strengthen our resolve. He uses the preaching of God's Word to strengthen the inner man. He uses the preaching of God's Word to bring comfort to them that are hurting. He uses the preaching of God's Word. He uses the preaching of God's word to heal the spiritually diseased. He uses the preaching of God's word to revive sluggish hearts. He uses the preaching of God's word to impart zeal in God's service. God uses the preached word. He uses the preached word to convict hearts. I've seen through the years people who absolutely despise the preaching of God's word. And yet I've seen those very same people in a moment, the Spirit of God using the preached word to convict their hearts and save their soul. God uses the preaching of His word. He uses the preaching of the word to humble the hearts of the proud. He uses the preaching of the word to guide us, to direct us, to enlighten His people concerning His will and His ways. He uses the preaching of the word to correct error and to protect. The preaching of God's word will protect the church. The preaching of God's word will protect your life. But where there is no vision, people perish. People are destroyed. Where there is no vision, churches, the doors are flung open. And anything and everything is liable to come in. Preaching of God's word is for protection. Preaching of God uses the preaching of His word to warn His people of danger. To warn His people of pitfalls along the way. And how many times our lives, because we heard the preaching of God's word, we were warned and our lives were saved. But where there is no vision, people perish. God uses His preached word to help us move forward spiritually. He also uses the preached word to mark and measure where we are spiritually. It's the preaching of God's word that we hear it and God tells us, this is where you are. This is where you need to be. This is where you are. God uses His preached word in many, many ways. Not only to save souls, but to save lives. To save lives. You bring somebody to the house of God, a lost person, or a person who perhaps is saved but is searching. You pray that God will take the preached word and apply it to their heart. And you do nothing. You do absolutely nothing in that church service that would distract them from hearing the preached word of God. You don't pass notes to them. You don't whisper to them. You pray. God, use the preached word to supply their need, whatever it might be.
This is what God uses. But again, realizing the importance of the preached word of God, Paul says, despise not prophesying. Talking to God's people, do not set it at naught. Do not ever think lightly of the preaching of God's word. You know, it's rare today. It's a rarity in most of Christendom. Preaching. It's rare. It's rare. People that come to the Lord's churches and hear preaching. Many times they've gone to churches all their lives, and for the first time they've heard preaching. It's rare. We must make sure that we never think lightly of it. That we never set it aside. And that we never reject it. Those who occasionally storm out, you'd better be careful. You are rejecting the preaching of God's word. That's serious business. Whether you liked what was preached or not, you ought to thank God, because where there is no vision, you would perish. So you ought to thank God, whether you like what was preached or not. So how do we despise preaching? How is it that God's people can despise the preaching of God's word? If we turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, I believe one way that we can despise the preaching of God's word is by not praying earnestly concerning the preaching of God's word. In Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul in verse 18 said, make supplication for all saints. And then he said, and for me. He said, pray for me. He said, pray that utterance may be given unto me. Pray that God would give me a message to preach. And church members ought to always be praying for whoever's preaching, that God would give them a message to preach. It's easy finding a message. It's not so easy finding the message that God once preached. That's what's difficult. And it is extremely difficult because the devil fights it every step of the way. And Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given. Secondly, that I may open my mouth boldly. Pray that God would give the message. And then pray that, Paul says, pray for me that I would courageously preach that message. It takes courage to preach. When you know there are going to be people who do not like it. And believe it or not, preachers like to be liked just like anybody else. And it takes courage to preach when you know you're not going to be liked for what you preach. But Paul says, you pray for me that I may have boldness. Then notice the third thing he says. To make known the mystery of the gospel. You pray that I would be able to preach it very plainly, where it will be made known, where the word of God will be unveiled. So you pray that the preacher will have a message. You pray that he'll be able to preach it with courage and boldness. And you pray that he'll be able to preach it in a plain way where people can understand it, where people can see. And then in verse 20, the latter part of that verse, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God gives a message. And there is also a way in which that message is to be preached. And we are to pray that the message would be preached the way that it ought to be preached. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Pray that the Lord, that the word of God would have free course, that the word of God would reach the hearts of God's people, and that the word of God would reach the hearts of lost people and would be made effectual in their lives. We despise preaching when we do not pray like we ought to pray. So make sure, whoever it is that is standing behind this pulpit, that before you come to hear, that you have prayed. You have prayed for that individual, that God will give them the message, that God will give them the ability to preach the message in a way that is plain, and that the word of God would have free course, that nobody would get in the way, that the preacher would not get in the way, that the hearer would not get in the way, that nothing would get in the way of the preaching of God's word. Preachers all the time pray, "Lord, just keep me out of the way." And that's a good thing to pray. And we do. We need. Sometimes we can get in the way. That's true whether we're preaching, that's true whether we're hearing. We're to pray that God's word will have free course. We also despise the preaching of God's word by not preparing our hearts to receive it. According to the parable of the sower, there's only one kind of ground that truly received the seed of God's word, and that was good ground. And good ground is prepared ground. We need to prepare to hear the preaching of God's word. We need to pray that the preacher is prepared. And then we need to do everything we can to make sure that we are prepared to hear and to receive the word of God. We despise the preaching of God's word by not giving it proper attention. Proper attention is very close attention. This is God's word. This is God speaking. Very close attention. I can't think of anything that you ought to give closer attention to than the preaching of God's word. Pay close attention. Have intense concentration and have an eagerness to hear. And we ought to be sitting on the edge of our seat, just can't hardly wait to hear what's coming next. There ought to be an eagerness to hear the preached word. The problem is, just like everything else, because of our human nature, if we receive something over and over, if we experience something over and over, our human nature has a tendency to do what? Take it for granted. And oh, how often we do that with preaching. We take it for granted. You've been hearing it for some of you all your life. Most of you for the majority of your life. Beware that you never take it for granted, that you do not come unprepared. We despise the preaching of God's word when we are hearers and not doers. James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And the latter part of Proverbs 29:18 says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law," that's obedience. That's obedience to hearing. "He that keepeth the law, happy is he."
The idea that is conveyed there is that one who observes the preached word of God is happy, is blessed. When you just obey what God says, you'll be happy and blessed. We despise the preaching of God's word when we willfully and deliberately absent ourselves from hearing the word of God. What could be more important than hearing the preaching, than hearing what God has to say? There's nothing more important. Nothing. I don't have to stand up here and apologize for taking your time, because I know that you don't have anything better to do. There's nothing better to do than to hear the preaching of God's word. We ought to take it seriously. We ought to take preaching very seriously. Where there is no proper preaching, where there is no proper hearing of the word of God, people perish. When you do not pay attention to the preaching of God's word, you may not think much of that, but really you're inviting ruin into your life. You're inviting destruction into your life by not paying attention. And you begin to deteriorate spiritually. You begin to weaken spiritually. And by not listening, you place yourself in the very midst of danger, where there is no vision, people perish. That is, where there is no preaching, everything begins to decay. Everything begins to decline. Everything begins to evaporate. We cannot overestimate the importance of preaching. And we live in a day when people will come to the house of God, they're searching, and many times they won't even get through the announcements before they get up and leave, because they realize by the announcements, this church don't have anything for us. They don't have activities. They don't have this. They don't have that. We might as well just get up and leave and go somewhere else. Preaching of the word is first and foremost. And every now and then, a saint of God will get it in their mind, well, you know, perhaps if we added a little other things and maybe took away a little of the preaching, maybe we wouldn't grow. No, you wouldn't grow. You might grow in number. But the truth still remains, where there is no preaching, people perish. The truth is, you'll begin to decay. You'll begin to deteriorate. You'll begin to weaken. Pray. Pray for the preaching of God's word. Whoever it is preaching, whether it's myself, Brother Mark, or whoever, pray that God would use His preached word in a mighty way. Brother Larry, if you'd come.